From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in San Rafael, California.
I'm from San Jose.
Hayward, California.
Nopa.
Coming up, May Day protesters don't just want to shut down traffic. They want to shut down the ferry, too.
What we're really trying to do is to kind of break down this like narrative where that there's like the unions and Occupy as two separate entities.
We cover that and other transit news. Then a local filmmaker shares the inspiration for his debut picture.
A lot of filmmakers, their first film is about a retelling of an intense situation they had with a woman because, you know, it affects us a lot.
And we visit a batting cage in Burlingame to learn how to swing.
Right, and allow the ball to come to you. Allow the ball to come to the swing. Don't go after the ball.
That's today on Cross Currents. Stay tuned. Tuesday's May Day protests marked the re-emergence of the Occupy movement. But May Day, known around the world as International Workers' Day, is traditionally a day when union members mobilize around labor issues. In San Francisco, those are ongoing.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
We're workers!
The Golden Gate Bridge Labor Coalition, which represents 14 unions, the Golden Gate Highway and Transportation District, which oversees the bridge, and Golden Gate Transit Buses have all been in contract negotiations since last year. At issue are health care premium costs, pay raises, and retirement benefits. On May Day, union members and Occupy protesters joined forces, causing the Golden Gate Highway and Transportation District to cancel ferry service between Marin County and San Francisco for 8 hours. Transportation reporter Julie Kane was at the morning action, and she joins me now. So, Julie, you went to an early morning protest at the Larkspur Ferry Terminal on Tuesday. Who was there and what was happening?
Well, there were about 200 people picketing. It was a coalition of union members from 14 different transportation-related unions and about 50 Occupy folks. They came out on buses from San Francisco and Oakland, and they were all there to support a strike by the Inland Boatmen's Union, or the IBU. That's the union for deckhands and ferry terminal assistants. Those are people who basically keep the ferries running, sell you tickets, and keep the parking lots clean.
So what was the strike about?
Well, union members who work in all kinds of capacities in the district, ferry boat captains, deckhands, bus drivers, iron workers, they're all being asked to start paying part of their premium for health care coverage. Right now, the district pays for all of it. And unions and the district have been in negotiations about the way workers will pay for those premiums since 2011.
So who did you speak to?
I spoke to a lot of people. Renee Alvarado is a terminal assistant in Larkspur, and he's also a member of the IBU. And this is what he said to picketers on Tuesday.
We are on strike to protect our jobs and healthcare. People really deserve a good job. The same thing is happening to everyone. I see people getting laid off, healthcare costs going up. It's time for management to appreciate us the way that our passengers do. Thank you very much.
So pretty powerful stuff. So that strike shut down ferry service, right?
Yeah. The Golden Gate Ferry, which serves around 6,000 commuters every day.
6,000?
Yeah. It was completely shut down for about 8 hours.
And so what were the effects then? How did people react to that?
Well, the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District, they run the bridge, the Golden Gate Transit buses, the Golden Gate Ferry. They got the word out to commuters about the strike the day before it happened, so most people knew about it. I asked Mary Curry, who's the district spokesperson, about the decision they made to cancel the ferry service.
We've had very few people show up this morning, maybe less than a dozen that didn't know. We know it's an inconvenience, but we felt it was a greater inconvenience to not warn people and to have them show up here stone cold, wondering, you know, what's going on.
So, Julie, you mentioned that there were several busloads of Occupy protesters on the picket line. So what's that relationship like?
It's pretty interesting. Until late last week, May Day organizers were calling for Occupy to shut down the Golden Gate Bridge on Tuesday. And the union coalition worked with Occupy to shift gears and move that action to ferry terminals in support of this IBU union strike.
So they convinced them?
They worked it out. They worked it out. They agreed and moved to support the strike. Samantha Levins is a union deckhand and an Occupy activist. And she was at Tuesday's strike. And I asked her about the relationship between the labor movement and the Occupy movement.
What we're really trying to do is to kind of break down this like narrative where that there's like the unions and Occupy as two separate entities, where a lot of people in the labor movement consider themselves to also be a part of the Occupy movement. So it's not even really about, oh, how are those two groups communicating? It's like they're both a part of each other's movements within each other.
So does it look like the labor unions and Occupy will continue to work together?
I talked to Alex Tonneson, who co-chairs this labor coalition, and he says their actions are always open to public support. And he did say that union members were really glad to have the Occupy folks show up for the strike on Tuesday and that they were impressed that there was no violence at all.
So what happens next with the negotiations then?
Well, the district and the unions go back to the table on Monday. And district officials say they're optimistic about reaching an agreement. But the Teamsters say that if the health care premium issue isn't resolved, they will strike again on May 10th, next Thursday, effectively shutting down Golden Gate Transit bus service for the day.
Julie Keynes, KALW's transportation reporter. For more coverage on how we get around, visit transportationnation.org. And we'd like to hear what you think of the area's May Day protests. Chime in on our feedback line. It's 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. And now it's time for some artery, cultural coverage for small town girls and city boys.
Just a small town girl.
The San Francisco International Film Festival wraps up its 55th season tonight with a screening of Don't Stop Believin', Every Man's Journey at the Castro Theater. It's the story of Arnel Pineda, a once homeless man from Manila who became the lead singer of the iconic San Francisco rock band Journey. The documentary by Stanford grad Ramona Diaz is one of nearly 200 films featured this year in what's billed as the longest-running film festival in the Americas. Another documentary by Oakland filmmaker Terrence Nance made a big impression at the International. It's called An Oversimplification of Her Beauty, and it's as much a multimedia work of art as it is a movie. Nance wrote, directed, starred in, and wrote music for the film, which explores the mind of a man who's falling in love. KALW contributor Kevin Robinson sat down with Nance to talk about the film, and we'll kick off their conversation with a clip.
Pardon my interruption. What you are about to see is a short film entitled How Would You Feel?, created by one Terrence Nance in 2006. How Would You Feel? Is an educational film that examines theories about how humans come to experience a singular emotion. In its original form, it was presented as a work of fiction. We will interrupt the film How Would You Feel? From time to time with a new film entitled An Oversimplification of Her Beauty. We will do this in order to provide the context necessary to tell a complete story.
It has a very experimental feel to it. Why?
Well, I mean, for me, it wasn't an experiment in the strictest sense, in that I knew what was going to happen, you know, because it's very heavily scripted. And, you know, I kind of saw it as more just the way I articulated myself in cinema as opposed to a quote unquote experiment. And I just think me not really being from a background of filmmaking in the traditional sense, but instead being from a music background and a, you know, visual art performance background kind of informed it. So I think that produced a very distinct result.
Because you're using like digital photography, using some maybe claymation, mm-hmm. some animation. Mm-hmm. It has, yeah, not your typical, like you said, Hollywood studio look to it. It should be interesting to note that this is a kind of a love story mm-hmm. regarding two black people. Mm-hmm. So black love story on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And you probably heard some people say that this doesn't sell. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, actually, you know, somebody actually directly told me this doesn't sell overseas. And, you know, I'm not the type of person that's naive about that. You know, I that's par for the course for the Western world, you know, in my opinion. So I think that that's something that as a black person in the world or kind of in the global South, I guess, you have to contend with. You have to understand how to navigate. I'm trying to add to my culture. So whether or not, you know, it comes out in those places in the theater, to me, it's kind of like myopic to even think about it like that. You know, it's something that exists. I made it. It will be available, and thank God for the internet. You know what I'm saying? So the people that want to see it will be able to see it, presumably forever now.
Join me now is filmmaker Terrence Nance. So Terrence, in the film, towards the end, you're speaking, you're asking questions to your the muse and girlfriend at the time, Namik Mentor, about her unwilling participation in this film. We're going to listen to the clip, and then I want you... Well, tell us, what were you asking her that she's responding to?
I was actually asking her, how do you feel about the fact that I am in love with you?
I feel pretty strange. No, I mean, it's, you know, it's weird. How many people do you say that to? It's not really a normal situation.
It's normal.
I haven't been for... I generally avoid the fact... in conversation and direct interaction. Well, if you don't know what to do with it, you might misuse it or abuse it or enjoy it, and they're all dangerous things. Because enjoying it, you let go and give yourself into it, which is completely an uncontrollable thing. To not be in control, for people that like to be in control, is risky, dangerous.
So, Terrence, what was happening in that scene?
That was a series of interviews that I conducted with Namik that I set up basically to give her a platform to tell how she felt about me making the movie, about us, and mostly about how she felt about me on a personal level. I mean, I think when I actually did the interview that I was probably pretty pessimistic about if she actually did have any feelings, but I just wanted to get it on camera, whatever the truth was. You know, I think that a lot of filmmakers, their first film is about an intense, or it's sort of a retelling of an intense situation they had with a woman because, you know, it affects us a lot.
Let's talk about that. I mean, how do you feel about women? Because in the film...
Great.
It seems like, are you maybe one of the few men who might say they're in awe of women? Because in the film, there's some scenes there where you are like little bitty and the women are like huge and like as far as stature and like almost universal cosmic and you're like a little grain of sand type of thing. Can you talk about that?
Well, the movie is goddess worship in a certain way. You know, I think that it's a celebration of the women in my life and how they've shaped me and how they've shaped how I deal with women in the future that, you know, will be in my life. And I think that's hugely important to your emotional development as a male because culturally, you know, we as people in the West kind of say men should behave a certain way, especially in regards to their emotions. And your emotional education really comes from your interactions. I mean, this is a very heteronormative statement, and I don't mean to be that way, but just for me personally, your kind of emotional education and development comes through your interactions with women. So the movie on some level is thanks to Namik for that, thanks to Naja for that, you know.
And these are the women in your...
Yeah, in the movie.
Involved with, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm depicting these things and how they changed me, how they improved me, you know, and... how they kind of affected me intensely because of how giving these people were in their relationships with me.
That was filmmaker Terrence Nance speaking with Kevin Robinson, who runs the website Medium Rare, focusing on the achievements of women and people of color in media. Nance's latest movie is called An Oversimplification of Her Beauty. You can find more information about it and his other artistic projects online at KALW.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. And now it's time to meet your neighbors.
I like my neighbors.
People in the Bay Area, the city of Burlingame is just a city straddling the 101 just south of San Francisco International Airport. As you drive by, you might see industrial warehouses and business parks, nothing too distinctive. But if you actually take the Millbrae exit and explore some of those warehouses, you can discover whole new worlds. That's what KALW's Ben Trefney did one day when he was looking around for a softball cage to improve his swing. After an online search, he came across Adventure Pro, run by former big league ballplayer Terry Whitfield and Ed Ricks. They offered to open up their Burlingame batting cages, so he decided to drop by.
Right, and allow the ball to come to you. Allow the ball to come to the swing. Don't go after the ball. The pitcher has to come to you.
Ed Ricks is a big guy, tall and strong, but he's also very gentle with a kind smile. As you can hear, he's a pretty steady teacher.
So it's a mind game. There you go.
Ed Ricks pitched for the New York Yankees organization in the late 70s, throwing up to 98 miles per hour. He thought he'd spent a long time in the bigs.
I was kind of like untouchable, and then I threw one pitch, and I thought somebody had ran on the field and stabbed me. I looked back, and then I realized that my rotator cuff was torn. And from that point, well, I immediately shut it down and got some ice and shut it down for another 2 or 3 weeks and started to rehab. And then I finally realized that I was pretty much done. And then I just reacclimated myself to the real world. And
so ended his big league dreams. But now he teaches kids and people like me, a future pro with his good friend Terry Whitfield, whom he met while playing for the Yankees. Terry Whitfield has some of the biggest hands I've ever seen. He played for the San Francisco Giants and the Los Angeles Dodgers and spent some time playing in Japan. And now he's happy to stay involved with sports.
The one thing that my mother and father always said, baseball doesn't last or sports don't last for all your life. But the one thing about it, you have a knowledge, you have something that a lot of kids and a lot of people are searching for, and to use it in the right way and prepare yourself for afterlife is very, very important. And I've always, I started inventing things and have patents. And so
hold on a second. What have you invented?
Well, the Terry Toss is a machine that tosses out the balls for kids as young as 3 years old. And we have a lady 75 years old come in here and hit for an hour and a half. We're up there thinking about, oh, man, this lady's going to fall out.
So, Ed, when you came here and helped me out, that was really, I got to say, one of the most generous gestures that I've come across. I mean, it's just amazing to me that you would give your time to help teach me, who you didn't know at all. I mean, I know that this is sports, but what is it that makes you want to give of yourself like that?
I'm a firm believer if you give, it'll come back to you. I enjoy what I'm doing. We both enjoy what we're doing. We are dedicated, and we feel that we're giving back to the community. I mean, it's a business, but we'll gladly, without pay, help kids. You know, I mean, when we have the free time, we'll give them pointers because we want them to fulfill their dreams, because, you know, we was lucky. We was blessed, and we put the time in. So we have to share that with the community that we live in.
Well, I think that definitely my life's been made better by meeting you guys and finding Future Pro here on Rollins Road in Burlingame. Terry Whitfield, Ned Ricks, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, I was wondering if maybe we could fire up one of these cages for a second, and I was wondering if maybe, Ed, you could give a comparison between my swing and Terry's swing here.
I got the bad knee here.
Oh, you're making excuses already. You think that I'm going to hit a little better than you, huh?
Well, you probably can right now.
Get your back, pretty baby.
There you go. It's like a snake. You wait until the last minute and then attack.
Get that ball, you can make a home run.
Okay.
Can you believe I actually hit one over?
No. Nah, I was joking.
Now, what you need to do is work on your balance. Slow your swing down.
Oh, I've got a drop that'll make you swing down low.
Well, that batting practice must have done wonders because last night, after 2.5 winless seasons, KALW's softball team had its first victory.
Yeah! Pandemonium. Incredible. You know, given the past failures, I was wondering if it would ever happen. And here it was, and I was trying to drink in every moment of it.
The McLaren Park Mashers manager and our executive editor, Ben Trefney, ripped a home run. And team co-captain Chris Hoff.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. Well, Chris ended the game with a full-speed, back-to-the-infield diving catch, setting off a once-in-a-lifetime celebration. Okay, that's actually the sound of the Giants winning the World Series. But still, it felt that way. Find a write-up about the game at our website. It's KALW.org. Ah, the glory of a win after an intense competition. Satisfying. Kind of sounds like the feeling our country's next commander-in-chief will feel after winning the next presidential election later this year. Yes, come November, we will either re-elect President Obama or elect likely Republican candidate Mitt Romney. And here's what San Francisco political comedian Will Durst has to say about that.
Hey guys, Will Durst here with a warning. Now that the general election has unofficially begun, you and I and pretty much everybody dear to us, except for Kansas City Royal fans, are about to be buried under a blizzard of polls. Because of their ongoing research, campaigns are prepared to pivot like a kid with a coupon in a candy store based on which group of potential voters likes which message best. And this time around, the focus of pollsters is something called micro-demographics. Small groups have replaced the old unwieldy designations of soccer moms and NASCAR dads for being hopelessly archaic due to their exceptionally large sampling. These are tinier tastes, which can be more easily targeted. For instance, much has been made, and rightfully so, of President Barack Obama's commanding lead over Mitt Romney amongst men whose elder brothers entered the military after getting remarried in June. But what must be even more distressing to the challenger is the number of single women over 50 who Dutch dated men named Henry and went home early, who prefer the president over the former governor of Massachusetts. The widest gap between those who viewed Obama favorably and those who didn't lay with shoe salesmen driving 10-year-old Hondas with rebuilt engines, a figure almost identical to the numbers reflected by hairdressers who have taken out restraining orders against bus drivers who were predominantly bald. As a point of curiosity, one of the few demographic groups in which Obama's approval rating was higher than his favorability rating was among seniors living at home who had lost significantly more of their hearing than their teeth. By comparison, 66% of seniors in care facilities who suffered from shingles and had a history of plantar fasciitis thought exactly the opposite. Similar gaps appear in the numbers of home gardeners whose corn crop had been decimated last spring by rootworm beetles and left-handed arborists who refuse to drive in the dark. So, think we can all agree, it seems pretty obvious right now who has the upper hand. Whether or not he can keep the momentum going, well, that's anybody's guess. For Cross Currents, I'm Will Durst.
That's San Francisco political comedian Will Durst. You can see him perform every Tuesday till Election Day at the Marsh Theater in San Francisco. You've been listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. Today, we bid farewell to our longtime volunteer, Jamie Katsoufis, a fine writer, engineer, cook, and friend.
Tuesday, I was a snot face. Snot face. Snot face. Snot face.
We hope to hear much more from you soon. Thanks, Jamie. Today's team includes Julie Kane, Audrey Dilling, Fatima Duran, Nina Gensler-Debs, Jordan Katz, RTM's Konohovs, Casey Miner, Erica Mu, Lisa Ratner, Seth Samuel, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Martina Castro is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Holly Kernan is our news director. Thanks to City Car Share, they provide an alternative transportation option for our reporters. City Car Share is online at citycarshare.org. And thank you. We are listener-supported radio. The sinuous sounds you're hearing are by the San Francisco band Boca do Rio. They call it música orgánica and say their reason for being is, quote, sharing and celebrating music and everything that brings it to our lives through the cross-pollination of the Americas. Well, they'll be cross-pollinating on Saturday when they celebrate the Mexican holiday of Cinco de Mayo by playing their Brazilian-influenced songs at Vitus in Oakland. Music starts at 9 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.